Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
Here we go. Glad to be back. Another episode of Compliance Pointers. If you were to take a sample of Compliance Pointer episodes over our 3 years and you just pick one, you know, pin the tail on the donkey, and if you guessed that the guest was Brandon Breslin, you'd probably have at this point about a 20% chance of being right. So no surprise here, and they can see clearly on video, we're joined by Brandon Breslin again. Brandon, thanks for doing this again, man. I'm starting to wonder.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm shocked you haven't kicked me off the podcast yet. So thanks for keep bringing me on. I'll take it as a compliment.
Hey, I mean, between managing, how many people do you have on your team?
We are now growing with our healthcare group merging in, so we've got 16 total now, and we've got a couple of your folks now affiliated with the sales team.
And you are responsible for 16 people, hundreds of clients, and you're still doing more podcasts than anybody else in our group. So you're now a father of two. You have a 1 month old at home, not even.
We are enjoying the life of having two kids now. Got a 3.5-year-old and a little bit over a month old. So it's great.
Yep. And I don't see any bags under your eyes. So you're sleeping. I don't know how you do it. I mean, not just because of the baby, but because of everything else. Incredible.
We're slowly getting in a better routine. It takes time. It takes time.
For our viewers and our listeners that don't know, Brandon is our practice director of security assurance. Security assurance at Compliance Point covers PCI, SOC 2, ISO 27001, 27701, 22301, 42001, and also high trust. And not only audit work, but also readiness, consulting, advisory, so a host of certifications, attestations, frameworks, really all around data and how organizations are securing and protecting it. He's got more than a decade experience in PCI in particular, but, you know, security assurance in general, right? And some of these other areas comes from a big consulting firm prior to Compliance Point, but I think you've been here. Is it over 3 years now?
A little over 3 years. Yep.
Yep. And
time flies, man.
When you're having fun, right? And having kids and managing 16 people and doing 40 podcasts. And he also would be very upset with me if I didn't mention that he's a UGA grad, especially as we get close to football season. That needs to be known.
We're counting down the days.
Yeah. In Brandon's line of work and his employees' line of work, their clients are leveraging GRC tools quite a bit. And that's really the topic today. We're going to talk about how organizations can leverage GRC tools in the compliance programs to not only prepare audit packages for any handful of audits and certifications I just mentioned, or attestations, but also just to increase security posture and other things, leverage AI, of all things. There you go. We dropped AI, so this can be trending now wherever it's
there
posted.
There you go. You got to include AI.
We're going to be getting into AI here. So
if you're not having AI in a podcast in 2025, what are you doing, right?
Exactly. If you're not having a podcast in 2025.
That is, yes. Well said.
But we've been here. We've been here years of doing this. So Brandon, for starters, for an organization just beginning their journey with GRC tools, what's the most critical first step they should take?
Sure. And I can give some background too on, you know, the GRC space is continuously evolving. We're seeing more and more of our clients purchasing tools either off the shelf or developing their own tools. More often so purchasing off the shelf just because of the complexity and the overhead that comes along with developing your own. There are still some organizations that are out there that don't have a GRC tool yet, and that's okay, right? I would say more of the mid-tier, the mid-market, and the larger companies are the ones that we see more often. There's so many out there, right? I think before you even get to that point of selection of a tool, I think you first need to have a conversation with your executive management. If you're a compliance officer or charged with governance in some sort, in some form or fashion, have a conversation with senior management, executive management, with your company leadership. Figure out first, does it make sense to have a tool? Do we have the budget for it? Does it align with our business objectives, right? You know, have the extensive conversation. What's our scale of our business? What are our future goals? Does having a GRC tool make sense for the organization? Most of the time, the answer is yes, but not every organization decides to go down that route.
Yeah, and there's many shapes, sizes, prices, models, modules. That's part of it. Okay. So that's coming from, I would assume, all those things that you need to do as a first step are because there are common pitfalls if you don't do that. So next question would be, what are some common pitfalls or mistakes you see organizations when they're implementing a GRC tool or when they're selecting one that can be avoided?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I would say that first question, that second question kind of blend, right? I mentioned that you need to have a conversation with executive management or senior management, company leadership. If you are a compliance officer, if you just start going down the route of developing a business plan without getting approval from your company leadership, you might be going into an empty tunnel. There may not be, the end of a potential approval for a purchase of a tool, right, down the road. You want to make sure that from the beginning you get that approval and that you're in line with their objectives as well, not just even for your own group or maybe even the compliance frameworks that you as an organization are looking to be compliant against or be certified against. That's a critical piece, and we'll touch on that. I'll touch on that here in a minute.
Yeah.
But I think the number one first core objective is making sure you're getting approval from your company leadership. And I've mentioned it now 3 or 4 times because we see it so many times where the compliance officer or somebody in charge of governance or data protection or some type of compliance role in the organization just goes off and says, hey, we need this tool, and it gets denied, or they're not able to move forward. There's too much red tape because they don't have that clear conversation or that extensive conversation with their company leadership. So cannot underestimate that piece. Starting small, scale it up, right? Look at, I mentioned compliance frameworks. If you're going down the route of, maybe SOC 2 or NIST, CSF, or ISO 27001, PCI, right? Understand first what are the needs of the organization before you even get to that point of selection of a tool. Most of the tools now include crosswalk and cross mapping, or there's so many terms out there that mean the same thing, basically aligning different controls to different frameworks. Most of them do that, right? That's the core process of the GRC tools, along with retention of evidence or validating testing of the control and all of that, making sure that you're not at risk for any missing any of the requirements or controls on those frameworks. There's all of those elements that we can get into, but I think the biggest pitfall, number one, not getting approval. Second, getting a tool that doesn't align with the frameworks that you're going to be compliant against or that you're looking to validate against. Maybe also training, I think, is a good one, right? If you're in an organization more on the larger side, if you have an entire committee charged with this, if there's just one person running the show and nobody else is on board, right, that can result in some challenges. Or if not everybody's trained specifically on what needs to be included in the tool or what needs to be part of the selection process, that can pose a challenge as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's also
how to use it, right?
Yeah. Or knowing how to use it. Yeah, exactly. So that's a good point. We can touch on that too, is, kind of going forward of after you've selected a tool, it's so important to work with that company that you either purchased it with or customized it with or both, and make sure that everybody that's going to be using the tool is trained on it, is aware of its capabilities, and that you're actually getting the value of what you purchased.
Yeah. So you hinted at it, right? One of the things we wanted to talk about was and you were talking about it with business buy-in and the value is part of it. But beyond just regulatory requirements or beyond just your attestation requirements and your compliance obligations, whether they be legal or to a client of yours from a data stewardship standpoint, what are some of the less obvious but significant benefits that organizations can gain from effectively leveraging a GRC tool?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I would say operational efficiency, probably number one, right? When you're looking at not just data governance, I know that's kind of the focus of this, but when you have all of your controls or requirements in one central location, and you're working with a team, maybe of different departments, maybe you're a larger organization and you're working with different departments, collecting evidence from different areas of the business before an audit comes up, or maybe just throughout the year as an internal audit. When you have that flow, when you're working with them continuously, you start to build that efficiency of, okay, this department's handling this, and you know, maybe we could tweak this a little bit more. You know, maybe we should change our vulnerability management program to be a little bit running scans or pen tests more often, right? Or maybe patches, we could run those more often. As you start to gather a lot of these things and you're reviewing the controls on a consistent basis, you start to see opportunities for improvement for the organization. So I would say that's more on the operational side. Transparency, accountability, right? If you've got, again, different people responsible for different areas of the business that you're obtaining evidence or control validation from, evidence from, or documentation from, or, you know, some type of conversation that has to be had to validate a control, you start to identify who's in charge of what. And then if somebody slips, right, you have a tool that can manage that process. It also helps, you know, something I would say that's an indirect benefit or a less obvious benefit as well is just the culture of focusing more on compliance and cybersecurity, right? As an organization, we all know what's the weakest part of security in an organization, the humans, right? The employees of the organization. So if you have everybody virtually bought into this tool, then it starts to be more top of mind in the forefront. They start to care more about it. Not just avoiding the anti-phishing links, right? You know, making sure that you're actually focused on the controls. And then another big one that I just thought of also, maybe decision-making too. If you've got people that, again, are responsible for different areas and you want somebody to be in charge of that control, it gives them that autonomy, but it also gives you the understanding of who to go to directly. And then if they need to change a process, you can get that decision from directly that person or that team.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. So you talked about efficiency and you even gave some examples. Go a step further on that. You know, what are some even more practical or specific examples from an efficiency standpoint? Because everybody says that with GRC tools, right? But for our listeners, right, for our audience, what are some specifics, especially, I mean, you do a lot of work in this and a lot of clients that are leveraging GRC tools. What are two, three things that specifically stand out in your mind from an efficiency capture standpoint?
I think everybody immediately jumps to audit preparation or being ready for an audit. That's one big component, and we can talk about that, right? It can save time in the evidence gathering process when you submit evidence for requests for an audit and all of that. But I think it's more than that, right? It's more of getting the organization on board with understanding what the controls are, what their responsibilities are, and making sure that they're doing those day-to-day tasks or validation of controls that they're responsible for on a continuous process, right? Security is a continuous process. It's not a one-time, you know, it's not a one-time, right? It's continuous. That's the reason why, you know, you'll see most of the frameworks now are not, they're more on a continuous basis. They're not one time, even though some of them are still point in time, that's more of an encouragement now to move or to shift that mindset to you know, frequency-based controls, frequency-based requirements, because you want to avoid that situation where, the auditor's coming in, let's get all the evidence, right? Let's make sure we're doing everything. Let's patch all of our systems. Let's run some vuln scans. Let's run pen tests. We're shifting away from that, right? We've never wanted it to be that way. We want it to be, organizations are keeping this as forefront. They're keeping it top of mind. They're continuously validating those controls, and they're making sure that they're staying ahead of it, so that in the event of an audit, right, to kind of bring it back or tie a bow on it, if you are in an audit, there's never any surprises, right? You get into the audit. Oh, yeah, we've had that evidence. We've been collecting that evidence for 6 months already internally, right? Or we've been running those patch reports every month, and we save them in our tool. Here you go. Here's the last 5-6 months of them, right? It changes the mindset when you're already ahead of the game. Then it's not a scramble to try to find certain pieces of evidence. And again, I can't stress this enough. The audit is just one element of, or one piece of the puzzle, right? It's you making sure that the organization is understanding of the controls and making sure that they're keeping them forefront. Top of mind is the most important.
So this next question, and you talked about it coming up again later, and what we agreed to talk about in this podcast, I think you answered it to a degree here too, maybe conceptually or maybe in product. But I was going to ask from an auditor's perspective, what makes implementation of a GRC tool stand out to you as having been effective and reliable for demonstrating compliance? Now, you just talked about avoiding the hamster wheel. It's not a fire drill and ducks in a row, basically. I think that's probably part of what you can see when they're prepared and they're ready and it's efficient. But, you know, what are some other answers or considerations that stand out to you beyond just that, when you say, oh, that's because they implemented it right, or they trained their team properly on how to leverage it, or they're using it for decision-making processes?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I guess we haven't really touched on accuracy or completeness of data, right? I think that's a critical factor. So again, you're not scrambling, you're not trying to pull information last minute. You have those month over month recurrence, you know, of control validation evidence, or you've got, you have the audit trails and the version control to show that you've been in compliance for that full year or that quarter or month, whatever control you're looking at. We also just haven't even talked about the fact that it's a centralized repository from our perspective. We're running an assessment and audit, and we're speaking with our clients. We're working in that tool together, right? It's a collaborative tool. It's a central evidence repository where it's easy to get a lot of that information. It makes the audit process streamlined, makes it a lot easier. From the client's perspective, right, the organization that's being assessed, the entity being assessed, they have one location to pull all of that information from and to house it, and they can see all the requirements that overlap to the other frameworks. So let's say they're doing a HITRUST assessment and they've got a SOC 2 audit coming down the pipe, right? They can store that evidence in the GRC tool, and then they're already getting prepared for the SOC 2 audit while they're completing their HITRUST assessment. So it's that efficiency gain that I think is game changer. But it's also the central repository, you know, having the audit trails, having the ease of reporting, you know, having integration with underlying systems. We haven't talked about that. There's APIs out there now that integrate, that can pull evidence directly from, you know, for example, the big three, AWS, Azure, GCP, right? You could have an API integrated to pull a lot of that evidence, you know, from each of those instances that you've got or those environments that you've got to be able to make the audit process easier. It just makes it much smoother. It makes the walkthroughs go quicker, observations, interviews go quicker because you can pull all of that evidence. You're already ready to go. The benefits are definitely there.
Yeah, one such integration, Field Guy, right? And I know we love Field Guy. It's part of our audit team.
Exactly. Yeah. So we use that tool that, you know, there's API integrations already built with, you know, for example, the cloud environments, but also other GRC tools. Let's say we're working with a client that's using Drata or Vanta. There is already an API integration set up with Field Guide to where we can get the evidence directly from their own GRC tool so that we can run the assessment and automate a lot of those pieces.
Powerful.
We need to.
It's powerful stuff.
It's huge. Yeah.
All right. Here's where that two-letter acronym comes in, right, that everybody's talking about. So That's going to be one. I would ask you to start with anything beyond that, or before that, and maybe there isn't, but what emerging trends or technologies do you see that are going to impact the future of GRC tools? Like you said, they're constantly changing, evolving, emerging. What's going to affect that and their role in compliance?
Yeah. If we want to talk about AI specifically, that two-letter acronym, right, I think it goes a little bit further than that. If we look at kind of the iterations now of the different models that are out there, earlier this year, because that space is moving so fast, earlier this year, AI workflows were starting to be built into most common large-scale GRC platforms. We're now past that, right? We're in the agentic AI realm now. We're already seeing, agentic AI, solutions being deployed or models being deployed to each of the common platforms out there that can automate both sides, right? The assessor and the assessed entity, to pull evidence, to start to generate a lot of the documentation, to start to anticipate what requests are coming down based on schedules and things like that. So I would say it takes it a step further than just the workflows, which are, consistent processes that are built out on a recurring basis, right? The agentic AI takes it to another level.
Okay. All right. That's about all I wanted to cover. So you had anything else? I think that's a good punch.
Love it.
I'll leave our audience with this. You were interested in any of these topics, you're considering GRC tool, or any of these compliance frameworks we reference are on your roadmap or part of your annual attestation of compliance process, and you'd be interested in the value and the expertise somebody like Brandon or his team could bring, give us a call. Reach out to us. You can connect with us, compliancepoint.com. You can email us directly at connect@compliancepoint.com. We take inquiries from anywhere on that, not just clients. And we'll be interested in your questions and how maybe we could help. And this isn't the only area we serve. We have a whole cybersecurity function dedicated to that side of security. We also work in data privacy and other regulatory compliance areas that don't have, maybe annual attestations or certifications. So if it's data and there's risk tied to it and how you protect it, secure it, limit it, disclose it, keep it confidential, you can probably help with it through assessments or advisory services, and we'd love to do that for you. So, Brandon, I'm sure I'll talk to you at work very soon, probably on a podcast in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And I will also say, as we're wrapping up, if you're an organization that is exploring, you've already had the conversation with your executive management, and you have determined that as a company, you're going to go forward with the selection process of a tool, take your time, right? It's a big decision. It's expensive, but it's worth it from our experience that we've seen. If done right, make sure you're getting that approval from senior leadership, making sure that you're involving the different departments of who's responsible for governance or who's in charge of, critical systems and controls within the environment, to make sure that you are evaluating and selecting the correct tool for your organization. There's so many out there, so don't just fall for the latest ad, right? Really get into the nitty-gritty and decide which tool is best for your organization specifically.
Yep. Well said. Yep. All right, Brandon, thank you. To our listeners and watchers, be well. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks, Jordan.